following message is from New Life Gillette series, Everybody Wants to Go to Heaven, But Nobody Wants to Die. This week, Pastor Mike presents part four of this series.
Well, good morning. It is good to see you up there, teens. Hi, guys. If you guys don't know yet, we have a New Life Youth section now up there in that part of the balcony. They got fresh cinnamon rolls and a refrigerator full of drinks and all kinds of good stuff and couches and comfortable chairs. So if you're a teenager in the room, get up there. We are in a period right now where we're doing some research into teens, and we are quite frustrated by the number of teens who in their early teenage years, and then it just kind of increases in intensity until they get to college when they finally leave the church. In their early teenage years, they start wondering about this stuff, and all their friends tell them it's not worth their time, and they struggle through their faith in their high school years, and so by the time they get to college, it just kind of all fades away. And so we're really doubling down on effort, not just to play games with our teens, but to really invest in them as much as we can. And so we hope that you'll join us in that effort. And if you want to volunteer to make cinnamon rolls or some other treat for them on a Sunday morning, talk to Sarah up there. Yeah, we're gaining numbers. My talk is working. Amen. We are in a series all about heaven. And today we are excited about talking about some of the more specific aspects of heaven. We're going to dive deep today in our discussion about heaven. And a lot of this is stemmed out of a conversation that I've been having with my son recently. My son is 4 and a half, and just about once a week right now, he asks me a question like, Dad, what's going to happen if you die? Who am I going to live with if you and Mom both die? What will happen if I die? And so I don't know where he got this idea. I think it came from he stepped on a bug and I told him that the bug is never coming back or something like that. But these are the kind of conversations we're having on a pretty regular basis right now. And I'm realizing that as I answer these questions, I am giving Lincoln something that he so desperately needs and what we all so desperately need, and that is a worldview. Now, some of us are not handed a healthy worldview, and so we end up going through life with a weak worldview, and it just kind of falls apart as we get older and older, and then we just become cynical people. But for those of us who are handed a good, healthy worldview, a way of seeing the world, a way of understanding all of what's going on in the world, spiritually and physically, those of us who have a strong worldview, or were handed a strong worldview from our parents or from somebody else, what happened in those times was we built a solid foundation. And my goal right now for my 4 and a half year old is to build for him a solid foundation to build his life upon. And so as the storms of life hit him, and they will hit him, as bad things happen and as he witnesses terrible things, those storms don't destroy the house that was built upon the foundation of his worldview. Many of you have been through those times in your life, those storm times of life, painful times of life. And we all recognize that this happens, and that's when we start asking the question of, why would God let this happen? Why would God let bad things happen to me when I'm trying to serve him? And we start going back to that worldview and going back to those ideas that were taught to us as we were building that foundation to figure out the answer to those questions. And for most of the people, the big storm happens when a loved one in our life dies. When somebody that we are really close to passes away is really the big storm when most of us start asking most of these questions. Has anybody here ever had a loved one die? Someone that they love pass away in their lifetime? So most of us in the room have. In fact, studies would show that most people who left the church in their teenage years and then came back because of one of these storms. And so it's not surprising that many of you have. For many of you, it drove you back to church because your foundation was solid. Your foundation was strong. And so the question comes then, when somebody dies or when one of these storms happen, what do we do? And did you notice that when somebody in your life died, you talked about heaven more than any other time in your life? Like, you hadn't really thought about it much. You kind of heard about it in Sunday school and that type of stuff. But outside of that, you never really talked about or thought about heaven, except maybe once in a while when you were at church. And that is because the hope of heaven is the promise of a reunion with the people we love. We have hope. Heaven gives us hope because we want to be reunited with those people that we care most about. In our pain, we start yearning. We start desiring a reunion with those people. And that is hope well placed, because those reunions in heaven will be even greater than we can imagine. Relationships in heaven will be so much better than relationships, even the relationship you're remembering that you had with that person you loved. When you get to heaven, that relationship will even be that much greater than you're wanting to reunite with. It's even going to be better than you think, because the best things that we experience on earth are just little glimpses of what normal is like in heaven. I mean, normal in heaven is like the greatest possible thing you can imagine. If you smuggle a gold brick into heaven, God's going to look at you and be like, what are you carrying some asphalt for into heaven? People wonder if we will, when we get to heaven, if we're going to know each other. And the answer is absolutely yes. When we get to heaven, we're not going to know less. We're not going to be dumber. We're not going to have worse memories. When we get to heaven, we're going to be smarter. We're going to know more. We're going to have better memories of our lives here on earth. Because right now, they're pretty limited. What can you remember from when you were 4 years old? Not that much. You'll know it all when you're in heaven. Now we see things imperfectly, like puzzling reflections in a mirror. But then, when we have our new bodies in the new heaven and new earth, but then we will see things, everything, with perfect clarity. Yes, we'll know our friends and our family, but better than that, we will know everybody just like they're our friends and our family. We will love everyone like you love the person you loved most in your life. There will be no name tags in heaven. We will have that much understanding and relationship and ability to love. And that's how things were meant to be, because we are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ is. This is who we are. We are citizens of heaven, where the Lord Jesus Christ lives, and we are eagerly waiting for him to return as our Savior. He will take our weak and mortal bodies, our limited brains, and change them into glorious bodies like his own, using the same power with which he will bring everything under his control. Right now, he's kind of released a little bit of that control, and he's allowing negative, bad things to happen, and he's kind of allowing things to happen in this world to kind of sort out the ones who will love him and the ones who will not, the ones who will seek him and the ones that will not. But soon that control will be totally taken over by God. All things will be made new. And we will live in bodies that are fit for heaven. Heaven isn't simply a promise of getting a nice house and lots of money. It's the promise of eternal joy. It's the promise of actually getting what money promises us but can't give us. It's the promise of actually getting the hope and security that power and money promises us in this world but can never give us. It is the hope of limitless happiness and love. Paul said, and now, dear brothers and sisters, we want you to know what will happen to the believers who have died, what happens after we die, so you will not grieve like people who have no hope. Next slide. For since we believe, we can't see it yet. This is what belief is. I can't see heaven yet, but we believe. And I can't see that Jesus died. I didn't witness happen, but I believe it. For since we believe that Jesus died and was raised to life again, we also believe that when Jesus returns, God will bring back with him the believers who have died. That's us. That is our promise. Jesus is a constant reminder that we are eternal beings, that when we die, we do not stay that way. When our bodies pass away, we do not die. So why does it take a death in our family to make us think about heaven? What are we waiting for? Why is this not a part of our regular conversations? Because any kind of time you talk about things that's not provable, or any time you talk about something that you can't see, it's a little embarrassing. It seems a little pointless. But Paul told us, he's telling us this directly from the Lord. This is now we believe in the Lord, and we're going to talk about this in a couple weeks. We believe that he is who he said he is. And if he is, then the one who said that he is from heaven told us that we can go there. Imagine with me for a moment that you're getting ready to retire and you've done it well. You've saved up a lot of money and you are going to retire and live a more comfortable life than you ever did before you retired. So what do? You open up your computer, you pull out all the money you've saved for your retirement, you open up realtor.com, and you pick the first house you see. No, that's not how you retire. That's not how anybody retires. I don't care what personality you have. That's not how people retire. What you think about is, where do I want to spend all this time? Do I want to be near my grandkids? Do I want to be on a lake? Do I want to be on a golf course? Do I want to stay in Wyoming, or do I want to move away? Who do I want to be around? What kind of weather do I want to be in? And then once you figure out where it's going to be, you figure out what the house is going to look like. Is it going to be a retirement community? What is it And so you don't just let these things just happen naturally. You have a plan and you think about it. Hopefully you have a plan. So why is it when we talk about our eternal destination, we just kind of think, well, I'll figure it out when I get there. I'm going to die and we'll just see. When we have a Jesus who did not just say that there's a heaven, he came from that heaven. He told us about it, and then he went back to that heaven. Guys, let's make a plan about how we are going to live our lives as citizens of that heaven, about how we're going to prepare ourselves to be reunited with Jesus in heaven. For the Lord himself will come down from heaven with a commanding shout, with the voice of the archangels, and with the trumpet call of God. First, the believers who have died will rise from their graves. Then together with them, we who are still alive and remain on the earth will be caught up in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. Like a king returning from battle, he will come and we will go up to the clouds and meet him there and usher him back to his kingdom. This is when people usually ask the question after we read this verse. So wait a minute. When we die, do we go immediately to heaven? Like, I die, now I go to heaven? Or do I die and wait in the ground for a little bit and then hang out until Jesus returns and then we all go together? And how do we iron that out? Because it seems like there's some contradictory things when Jesus tells us about it. And the reality is yes and no. See, Jesus, God, works in a totally different reality than we work in. What is time? Time for us is a way to put our events of our life in order. Time is literally just telling you how much the earth has spun this day. It's just telling you what your proximity to the sun is at that time. That's what time is. But when you die, you leave time. You will not think linearly like we do now. So now in heaven is always in heaven. There is no now in heaven. And so Jesus is trying to use timeline talk to convey to us principles, not actually lay out to us what we could not possibly understand and what we cannot possibly comprehend. Yes, when you die, you are with God. You're with God now, by the way. And yes, when Jesus returns, those who have gone before will rise to be with him. It's like sleeping. When I wake up in the morning, I don't like put it into a timeline because I have no idea. I was asleep. So we cannot comprehend what the timeline of heaven is like. But what we do know is that when we leave this world, we will be with heaven instantaneously. There's not some torture period in the dirt. But we also know that there will be some return of Christ in which everybody kind of celebrates with him in the skies. And then we return to a new heaven and a new earth that will be unlike anything that we can imagine. And then we will be with the Lord forever. Have you ever thought about forever? Have you ever thought about eternity? I think it's terrifying. Think about the most euphoric, pleasurable, awesome, the best thing that you can think of doing in this world. Guys, don't think about it too long. Now imagine doing whatever that thing is forever, never stopping. Like just ongoing, that's all I do, that's the rest of my life. That's terrifying. Like I don't care how great the thing is or how great the activity is or how much pleasure you feel in the moment. Nobody wants to do the same thing forever. And so this is when we say again, we just have to trust God, not in the promise of forever because I can't understand it in our timeline. And we're thinking about doing these things in our human bodies, in our human understandings. But God is just promising us, just listen, I know you can't comprehend it. It's going to be awesome. And we want an explanation, but he is living in a different reality because heaven is not governed. Next slide. Heaven is not governed by the laws of science. Things that are true now will not be true then. Heaven is strange to us. But don't you think that's a good thing? Like, if heaven wasn't a strange concept, then it would be earth. Then it would be normal. It wouldn't be heaven at all. That's what makes it heaven. We want it to be strange. We don't want to live in eternity doing the same thing over and over again in these bodies in this world. And if you're looking for a natural religion, for a totally explainable, a totally understandable religion, Christianity is not it. Now, I'm not saying it's not provable. I'm not saying that it's not logical. It is. Jesus came to earth to make it more logical than anything. But what I'm saying is it's just more than what we can understand. God is not bound by the laws of science because God created the laws of science. So if heaven is an unrealistic or illogical idea, then good. So if it's so unknowable, then how do we have faith that heaven is real? We have faith that heaven is real not because a kid went there and came back and told us. Not because we want to believe in it, so we created this idea to help us emotionally. We have faith that heaven is real because Jesus came from there and told us about it. We have faith in heaven because Jesus told us that it's real. When we hear about people floating to the sky and golden streets and pearly gates, a place where nobody has ever sat, it sounds like we're just making it up just to make ourselves feel good. But heaven sounds like a fairy tale, because we wrote fairy tales to give us a glimpse of heaven, because that's our home. And so naturally, creative people, when they design fairy tales, these ideal situations, what they're really doing is just trying to paint a picture of heaven. They're just trying to tell the story of heaven. So when it sounds like a fairy tale, that's because all the fairy tales we know were just written to try to just grasp just a small part of heaven. Heaven is real, and we must do everything that we can, not just to get there, but also to bring as many people with us as possible. Because we can't stop at just thinking about heaven every once in a while. Heaven has got to be a motivation. Heaven has got to be a priority. Heaven has got to be a major part of our conversations in this world. Because we're not just trying to get there, we're trying to bring our family with us. the critique that I hear most often about New Life is that we focused too much on telling people about Jesus, or we focus too much on lost people, they say, and not enough on found people. I have gotten to the point in my ministry that I've just kind of decided, you know what? I'm okay with that critique. I get it. I want to have a healthy balance, but if I'm going to be critiqued one way or the other, I hope it's that way. Because the reality of the world that I, or the ministry that I believe I've been called to, is one that I'm leading as many people to heaven as possible. So if I talk too much about Jesus, if I talk too much about love, if I talk too much about forgiveness and grace, it's because I'm trying to get you to join the family. The other day I got into a argument with a friend of mine about abortion. And the argument was not actually about abortion, about whether or not it's right or wrong. The argument was about whether or not capital punishment or abortion is a more worthy cause to vote for. He believed capital punishment is wrong, and he believed abortion was wrong, and he said he's going to vote based on what he thinks about capital punishment. And I said, now hold on a minute. Let's do the math. Every year in America, somewhere around 20 people, actually not every year, on a year where it happens a lot, about 20 people are put to death for their crimes, capital punishment. But every year in America, over 800,000 babies are aborted. So how can you say that an issue that has the consequences of 20 lives versus an issue of 800,000 lives, how do you do that math and say the 20 lives are more important? And he got indignant. He said, I thought you were a pastor. I thought you went to seminary. Have you ever read your Bible? Have you ever heard Jesus' story of the 99 sheep and the one sheep? He said to focus on the one. Don't focus on the many. Focus on the few. And I realized that he had a unhealthy worldview based on how he had interpreted this story. The story of the 99 sheep and the one sheep is not about the number of sheep that are being reached. It is about whether or not we are focusing on reaching saved people or sheep or lost people or sheep. That is the point of the parable. The whole idea that is in your life, it must be a priority to seek out those who are lost. The church must be a hospital for sick people. This is what we are. We're not a country club for saved people. And don't get me wrong, it is important to do ministry to save people. It is important for us to grow. It is important for us to learn. But Jesus told us explicitly that our priority must be on reaching the lost, on getting people into baptismal tanks. Jesus said, after he told this parable about leaving 99 saved sheep to go find one lost sheep, he says, I tell you, in the same way, there will be more rejoicing in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous people who do not need to repent. The parable is not called the parable of the one sheep, focusing on the number of people we should reach. It is called the parable of the lost sheep. His point was that we should focus not on fewer people, but we should focus on lost people. We are commanded to prioritize saving lost sheep over feeding found sheep. Don't get me wrong, I got to keep clarifying this. It's necessary. It's important for us to protect and for us to feed the found sheep. Jesus is not saying, I don't care about the 99 sheep. But he knows that they can eat grass on their own too. If they're prone to sticking with the group, they're going to stick with the group too. Who needs me more are the lost sheep. Feeding the saved sheep, the found sheep, is not totally up to the shepherd. They can do that on their own. But the lost sheep needs me, needs my help. And if we focus on reaching lost sheep, then our discipleship efforts should make people outwardly focused, all of us in our lives, focused on heaven and focused on getting people there, those who are not already destined for that place. Because the maturing that happens through discipleship makes us less self-focused, makes us less inward-focused. Our discipleship efforts should help people mature to the place that they are not doing what they're doing for selfish reasons, not growing in their faith for selfish reasons, so that they can be blessed more, so that they can live an easier life, or so that they can get all their theology right. Instead, it should be so that they can lead more people to God. We are called to lead people to God, and because heaven is wherever God is, then we are called to lead people to heaven. This is our primary calling. So if you've listened to me today and you're not a follower of Christ and you're wondering why I'm talking about all your priorities when you don't even know what yours are, let me just tell you that the number one top priority in my ministry is to make sure that you know that Jesus' love is unconditional. To make sure that you know that no matter what you did yesterday, that no matter what has happened to you in your past, no matter what you look like, no matter where you're from, no matter what, Jesus came to this earth to die on a cross. God himself was murdered for crimes that he did not commit so that you could be forgiven of any of those sins and all of those sins. They can be completely wiped away so that when he returned to heaven, you could go with him. Because in your sinful state, without your sins forgiven, you couldn't get in. You could never be good enough. And I know you think you have some good qualities, and you do, but they're not enough. They will never get you into heaven. They can't get you into heaven. And Jesus knew the only way you could get into heaven was if he died. He paid the ultimate price. He paid the capital punishment. He gave up his life because he knew that everything in this world is temporary and will fade away, and he needed to make a way for you to spend eternity with him in heaven. And it is that idea that gives those of us who are Christians hope and gives us peace and gives us joy now, is simply because we've recognized that we are citizens of heaven and we are living now in such a way that we're just giving the world a glimpse of what it'll be like to live in heaven. If you have not joined us, if you have not joined the family, if you are not 100% confident of your eternal destination, would you just please take it seriously? Don't just go to realtor.com and buy the first house you see. Take it seriously. Where will you spend eternity? What will it look like? Have a conversation with somebody if you don't know. There'll be some people after the service standing up here. I'll be with them. Just have a conversation about it if you want to talk to anybody. And you can Google it and find some good answers too, but be careful who you listen to. God, I thank you for how you are working in the lives of people in ways that we cannot. I thank you that you are still the good shepherd who is chasing after the one. God, I pray that you would give us eternal perspectives that remind us daily that we are not created to live permanently in these bodies, in this fallen world. Help us to set our minds on things above, not on things of this earth. And God, I just want to pray here before we end that you would help those of us who are parents to hand to our children a solid worldview. That we would speak to them enough about heaven, and that we would speak to them enough about you, that they build a solid foundation in their lives, that as storms come and as pain overwhelms them, the house of their life will stand strong in those storms because it is built in hope and faith in you. God, we thank you for drawing people to yourself even now in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thanks for tuning in to New Life Gillette. For more information, visit us on the web at www.newlifegillette.com. You can also find us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter. And always remember, Jesus loves you very much, and he died to give you new life.